Wake up, everyone. It's time for a call to action. Welcome to Call to Action Today, where there are no sacred cows, with your host, Steve Noble, just an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and he's calling you out every week to live the Christian life in your home, your work, and even in politics. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH, or check him out online at c2atoday.org. And now, with some much-needed cough medicine for the church, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, I don't want to be a whiner. I started off having a great day. A great day because we were at an event this morning sharing a story, a great story about life and a little 10-month-old baby that involved our daughter and one of her friends. And that was awesome. Some good friends that have been on the show many times. Wendy Bannister Bonanno, and she's just this great Australian lady, just loves the Lord, loves the babies, has a great staff there. Mrs. Delahoyd, a member of that team, Gateway, here in Raleigh, North Carolina. And that was awesome, and just what a story, what God's doing and saving lives and saving babies and helping young women and middle-aged women and deal with that challenge of a quote-unquote unwanted or a quote-unquote unplanned pregnancy. And so that was awesome. And then some good meetings, and then had a really difficult meeting with a friend of mine that reached out earlier today and basically let me know that he's just discovered he's got a what almost all the times amounts to a terminal disease. And he's 46 and married and has two kids. And then I roll in here, and I was doing show prep earlier today, and like every major story out there is a bad story. But you know what? That... Welcome to life on planet Earth in a broken system, physically, spiritually, mentally, politically, financially, and every other way. We live in a remarkably broken world where there are glimpses of beauty and God is at work. Hey, Merle. So I just had a friend jump on Facebook Live, Merle, who's done unbelievable kingdom work in India for years, unbelievable man of God. Merle, let me just gonna share this, and please correct me if I'm wrong. The first time I heard about Merle, there is in India, Merle's on Facebook Live. So if you want to join us there, if you're listening on the radio and you want to watch and what's going on here in the studio, and then we have kind of sidebar conversations during the commercial breaks. If you'd like to join that, we have a great little family here on Facebook Live. It's a lot of fun to we kind of take a sidestep during the commercial break and have sometimes a related, but sometimes totally unrelated conversation. So that's an hour long conversation plus prayer after the show is over. That's what we do on Facebook Live versus if you're just listening on the radio, which is awesome. And we thank God for every affiliate we have. And we thank God for you that you're listening on the radio, but then you go to commercial breaks and that's what you listen to. But we have conversations that continue on Facebook Live. So Merle is a friend of mine that I met several years ago through another buddy, Jim Anthony, here in Raleigh, North Carolina. And there was a ministry they told me about that in India, and I don't remember if you're having a baby boys or girls, which one's the problem, but I think it was in India, and in certain part of it, you have the baby that's the wrong sex. They literally would put honey all over the baby and take it out into the woods and leave it there. And so I think Merle, correct me if I'm wrong, because he's watching on Facebook Live, then a ministry is born to rescue these kids and raise them, and they're bringing them into a Christian community and raising them and educating them all the way through high school. And that's, so there's garbage, nightmare, terrible stuff in the world, whether you want to talk about Kate Steinle or what's going on with Michael Flynn or what happened out in Las Vegas 2 months ago. I mean, there's a just bad, garbage, heartbreaking, infuriating injustice all over the place. But then there's also God working in the midst of all that junk to build his kingdom, to draw people into a right relationship with him, to find forgiveness through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And so when the day is going really lousy and you get bad news and garbage is hitting the fan and all that stuff's happening, I force myself to go back to the promises of God, which are yes and amen, and that this is a temporary and light and momentary affliction that one day will work itself into an eternal weight of glory, and I must lean on the word of God and trust and have faith. And some days that's easy, and in other days it isn't. And on some other days, I don't even want to. I'm like, no, this is just like a ripoff or something. But it isn't. it's a fallen world. I was teaching three classes yesterday. Many of you know that. And in my ethics class, we were talking about a theology of work. And I'm going to get to a bunch of infuriating bad news stories here to kind of keep the tide rolling along. But we were talking about the ethics of work yesterday and a theology of work. And next week, we're going to talk about poverty and wealth in our ethics class with high school age homeschoolers here in the Raleigh area that I do every Thursday. So I'm telling them, well, next week we're going to talk about poverty. And by the way, one of the easy attacks on God that's out there in the world is poverty and terrible things happening around the world and people dying of starvation and children with distended stomachs and tiny little African children who are bone skinny and these big distended stomachs because they're starving to death. Hey, where's God in all of that, Steve? You born-again Christians, where's your loving, all-powerful God in all of that? And I was sharing this with these high school age homeschoolers yesterday, most of whom would make a profession of faith, if not all of them. I don't know their hearts, but and I said, you read, you study, you get to know the God of the Bible. You think God's sitting up there in heaven, wherever that is, and he's like, yeah, no, I don't care about these kids, and you know, whatever. I'm just not going to give you enough food. I'm just not going to make the earth tenable, and you're not going to have enough to take care of yourselves. You think that's the God of the Bible? You want to know who's to blame for the starvation in the world? You and me and every other human being, fallen, stinking sinner, made in the image of God. There's that two sides of the coin, right? Two sides of the same coin. And I don't know about you, but we throw out a lot of food. I throw out a lot of food. I spread that out to 330 million people around the country and then spread it out to 7 billion people around the world. And you want to know why little children are starving to death in sub-Saharan Africa or wherever else? You want to know why? Because ultimately, way too many of us just don't care. You think we have a food production problem on this planet? We do not. You think we have a resource problem on this planet? We do not. God has given us all the raw materials and all the ability and all the technology and all the smarts and all the creativity and all the ingenuity we need to deal with all of that. We just choose not to. And that isn't a God problem. That's a man problem and a sin problem. And so I don't even know how I got off on that, but that's just a reality that's out there. So we live in this messed up, sin-infested, infected world. But there are good things happening, and God is at work, and this momentary and light affliction one day will work itself into an eternal weight of glory. And if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, all your eggs for going to heaven are in his basket, then this stuff will be a distant memory at best, and we will have an eternal weight of glory and a euphoria that's unending in the there and the then. Praise the Lord for that. We'll get to the news of the day, which is lousy, when we come back. Yeah, I'm feeling that. I need a getaway car. Kind of feel. I didn't need one this morning. I was praising the Lord, but you know, things can change quickly. And this afternoon, not so much. But back to that, praising the Lord again, despite bad news. A friend of mine who I've known for years, but he was a customer before of the old business I used to run, paint company here in Raleigh, North Carolina. And then he reached out a year ago, and he's helped me in the studio. We've become friends. He's a Christian brother, And I'm not going to share a lot on a public thing. I've got a Facebook closed group that's my prayer team behind the ministry and behind me personally. So, and that's for people that I know and that I trust that I share more personal prayer requests with. And I'll share more details about my friend David. I'm just going to tell you his name is David, and he's married and has two kids, and he's 46. And we met today earlier for almost two hours, and he told me, I could tell something was up, and God just cleared a hole in my schedule, and we met, and he ended up telling me he just found out recently that he has ALS, and you know, we're on this spiritual high this morning as this great story of life that my wife and daughter and her best friend were involved in, Gateway here locally. That was awesome. Had some good meetings during the day and went there, and then boom, you know, the bottom kind of drops out, and we had a great conversation, and David is doing as well as you could expect, and you know, plenty of challenges in the years to come, whatever God allows for, and so much fruit on that bitter vine already, and that's just life. So that's why I was talking about it earlier. So let's make sure that we try to keep an eternal perspective I do this when in class sometimes. I used to do it in the Sunday school class, adult Sunday school class I used to teach for 4.5 years. In and out, just take a normal classroom size. So maybe it's like, I don't know, 30 by 20, something like that. And I would put like a dime. And I'm going to get to some news of the day, all this stuff that's probably upsetting you as it is me. But I put a dime up against the wall. And I'd say, okay, this dime represents, it's kind of Pastor Steve time today, all right? I'm just, God's just moving. I'm just going with it. This dime represents your 76 or 80 average years of lifespan here on earth. Okay, that's the dime on the wall. Now, look at all the ceiling and the rest of the wall and all the floor and all four walls, all that square footage. As a matter of fact, let's turn it into cubic inches. So every cubic inch in this whole place, all of this represents, illegitimately, but represents, for the sake of the conversation, your eternity in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. And heaven comes down, and the new heavens and the new earth, and heaven eventually comes here to earth, and the city of God, and just the whole thing starts to open up, okay? So that, the whole room, all of it, every square inch, every cubic inch, the whole thing, represents eternity. And this dime is your 80 years of life, or whatever it is, whatever God allows for, 40 years, 50 years, 70 years, 80 years, 90 years, whatever it is. That's the dime. And so that becomes like the dot. So do you focus on the dot, that 74 or 44 or 84 years of life? Or do you put more of your focus on the line? Because both of these things are a reality. Your life is like a mist, it says in the book of James. It's here for a moment and then it's gone. And in the Psalms of the Proverbs, I can't remember which right now because I'm 51. It talks about, you know, number your days so that you can gain a heart of wisdom. So, hey, listen, nobody's getting out of here alive unless Jesus comes back before we die. And so that limited amount of time, that dime in that large room or the rest of it, which is an eternity in heaven with God the Father, no sin, no sickness, no death, no strife, no broken relationships, no divorce, no murder, no bad miscarriages of justice, no pain, no nothing except euphoria and love and joy and peace, all the fruit of the Spirit. That's just normal. That's like who you are all the time with the Lord, unleashing everything that's a part of the Imago Dei in us. You think culture is going to end? You think creativity is going to end in heaven? You're going to inherit your little cloud and I'll be on some other little cloud somewhere else and we'll be trading our licks on our harps back and forth. And you know, it's boring to tears. I'd be bored to tears. And that's not what it means to follow God, to follow Christ. So you look at that dime, which represents your life here on earth, this finite life. And then you go, okay. And then 1 year or 1 day or 1 month or 1 season inside that dime, which can be really, really difficult. I'm not taking that away. I was just in Vegas on Monday, did the show right across the street from where 58 people were shot and murdered on October 1st across from Mandalay Bay Hotel at that country western concert. And that's horrific. Everybody associated with those 58 families having a terrible Thanksgiving and a terrible Christmas season or Hanukkah or whatever. But when you know God through Christ and you're saved and you're one of his children, that's just one little spot on your dime. And you have all of eternity to look forward to when all that stuff's a distant memory at best. And so on a day when you get bad news, you need to cling to the promises of God, which are all yes and amen. And I just thank God for that, whether I'm having a good day or a bad day. And sometimes you have to have a bad day in order to stop and take stock of what God has said to be true, which is true. Okay? So if you're having a bad season, and like I had a tough afternoon with a friend, just take heart and know that God is working and that we have to struggle and fight and grapple and grasp to have an eternal perspective rather than a limited temporal perspective. Okay, let's dive into a bunch of these frustrating news stories. There's so much to talk about. I don't even know where to start, so I'm just going to dive right in. Kate Steinle. Okay, this whole thing stinks. Now, it's in San Francisco, which is in California. So what do you think matters more in the state of California most of the time? Politics or justice? Politics, justice. Let's see. Oh, yeah, probably politics. All right. So here's the details of the shooting. Steinle, her father, and a friend were at the pier when a bullet struck Steinle's lower back and tore through her abdominal aorta, authorities said. Surveillance video showed Garcia Zarate running away. After his arrest, investigators found gunshot residue on his right hand, prosecutor Diana Garcia told jurors. Garcia Zarate faced a charge of second-degree murder, but jurors also were allowed to consider first-degree murder and involuntary manslaughter convictions. Prosecutors said Garcia Zarate was playing his own secret version of Russian roulette and deliberately fired into an unsuspecting crowd on the pier, killing Steinle. Defense attorney Matt Gonzalez said Garcia Zarate found the gun at the pier. He said it was wrapped in a cloth, and when Garcia Zarate unwrapped it, the gun accidentally discharged. But in a police interrogation, facts. Garcia Zarate admitted to firing the gun, saying he was aiming at a seal. So does the guy have, does his story have any credibility whatsoever when he changes it? No, zero. Not to mention he had already been arrested, thrown out, and brought back five times. Okay? And do you want to talk about sanctuary cities? So everybody going ballistic about the Kate Steinle lack of a conviction? Everybody going ballistic about it is absolutely right in doing so. It is a massive miscarriage of justice. It's ridiculous. It's disgusting. And it's on California and specifically San Francisco's back. Now, the Department of Justice is weighing, this is from a Fox News story, federal charges in Kate Steinle's murder case after not guilty verdict. And let's just pray. We can't pray out of vindictiveness. Here's a question, friends. Here's a question, class. Who does vengeance belong to? Who does vengeance belong to? Oh, that's right. It belongs to the Lord. Okay, vengeance. Although he does give the state, the government, the power of the sword to exact justice, which would include capital punishment, okay? The state has the power of the sword. It's not for me to swing that sword. That's between God and the state. But in this case, we should be praying that the Department of Justice goes after this guy because he's clearly a criminal and clearly a murderer, and sanctuary cities created it and allowed it. If you didn't have sanctuary cities, Kate Steinle would be alive today to celebrate Christmas with her family. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. Going on right now, especially at the end of the year, because this is, you know, the sign-up period for Obamacare. I know people whose health insurance is going like from $900 to $1,600 or $1,200 to $2,400. I mean, it's psycho. The health insurance now costs more than most medical treatment, right? Does that seem wrong? Yeah, because it is. And why is that like that? Because the health insurance industry is messed up? Yeah. And why else? Well, that's because the federal government's involved. Thank you, President Obama and Congress. So one way that the Noble family has gotten around that, which I share with you, and I want to remind you about it, of course, is our friends at MediShare. They've been around since 1993. Over $1 billion, billion dollars in expenses have been shared by several hundred thousand Christians around the country since 1993. And that was our way to save a lot of money for our family, to give us more control over our healthcare expenses, and by the way, more accountability, because when you have to write checks for a lot of things, you don't do it as easily. You're going to be more stingy, which we should be. God help us that would bleed over into the Congress, into the White House. But in this case, for you and I, it's a great thing to help you with your budget. It gives you more control over your healthcare dollars, more accountability for yourself. Plus, you're helping other Christians around the country pay for their major medical expenses when terrible things do happen, and they will. And that's where MediShare has just been a huge blessing for us and for almost 300,000 people around the country since 1993. So give them a call. Check it out for yourself. 855-BIBLE-11 is their number. 855-BIBLE-11, now available also in Montana. So we're going through a bunch of stories. I'm trying not to lose my mind here. We were talking about Kate Steinle, which is remarkably frustrating and a terrible injustice. So that's not great, right? Most of us are upset about that, and we should be. But let's go through a couple other things. So, of course, another thing breaking today is Michael Flynn. So you look at the mainstream media, and they're like, oh, this is it. Trump is toast. This is it. Michael Flynn is rolling over. He's rolling over, and it's all going to come out now. This is going to be really bad. Here's a redstate.com. Breaking news, Flynn to roll on Trump. Now you can't put Michael Flynn on the stand anymore because he's flip-flopped all over the place, and he's not a credible witness. So they're going to use him to get to other people. But just like Paul Manafort, they're going after him for something that happened over a decade ago. With Michael Flynn, did he lie to the FBI? Yes, he did. And he's saying, and they're saying, whoa, you know, somebody from the transitional team for President Trump told him to contact the Russians in other countries as if. Now, let me just, I don't mean to be terribly insulting here, but if I can get a group of 14 to 16, a couple of 17-year-olds to understand this, I'd like to think the rest of us understand this already. If you have the most powerful position on the planet, it's trading hands, right? So in the transition period between the first Tuesday of the first month of the first week of November and January 20th, when the new president is sworn in, do you think it would make sense on any level that the incoming president would begin to have contact with leadership of foreign countries, especially some of the most powerful and in some cases some of the most dangerous foreign countries out there? Do you think that in a transitionary period that the president of the United States would actually be wise to begin to go down those roads, to get some more information, to initiate some contact? Of course it is. And if you didn't, what would we say? Well, you got your head in the sand, right? You're an idiot. You're being irresponsible. It's actually dangerous. One could make the case that it's immoral if you're not starting to engage, because that's one of the chief responsibilities of the president is to represent the interests of the United States overseas. Congress doesn't do that. Senate can approve treaties. Congress can pull on the purse strings. But who initiates executive actions overseas? That's the president. Who does much of the diplomacy overseas? That's the president and the State Department, which is a part of which branch, class? That's right, the executive branch. And so, of course, the president should be having contact and making contact and exploring things in the transitionary period. So what's this going to amount to? I think probably not much. That's what I think. But right now, it's you know, euphoria all over the mainstream media because, oh, this is it. This is it. We're going to get the Russia probe. He's going down. Trump's going to. All right. Well, let's start. Let's like ask questions first instead of shooting first. And let's actually wait for the justice system to kind of work its way through. Now, can you trust it completely? Obviously not. Welcome to life on planet Earth, which is why we need to be praying for those in authority over us. Thank you, God, right once again. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Pray1tim2.org, by the way. You need to be getting those emails every day to help you do what God has commanded us to do, to pray for those in authority over us. So we're going to watch what happens here. And there's a great article on Fox News Insider, Judge Napolitano and Flynn's guilty plea. Monumental reduction of charges doesn't come for free. So he's assuming there's going to be another shoe that will drop soon, and we'll just have to wait and see. So don't freak out. Don't assume anything, and we'll just wait and see what happens here. But most likely it's going to, you know, Mueller has to do something. He's spending tons of money, tons of time, tons of resources, and they're not going to come out of a special investigation like this with nothing. They're going to do whatever they can to justify the expense and the time. And by the way, the more he does, the more he gets paid. Oh, how convenient. And why would we expect, Steve, gosh, that's awfully cynical. No, it isn't. It's biblical. It's called sin or human depravity, and everybody's got it and plenty of it. I can't remember that. I got to look this up because I've said it a lot lately. One theologian or church leader or church father, I can't remember who said, the seed of every sin exists in every human heart. Every sin. So just when you sit there and go, hey, you know who's a real dirtbag? Who's the dirtbag of the day this week? Who's the dirtbag of the day this week? What's his name? That's right, Matt Lauer. You sit there and go, Matt Lauer, he did this. And the more news comes out of Matt Lauer, you're like, this guy is really... really depraved, really dark, absolute power corrupts, absolutely. NBC, there's going to be more heads rolling there because people knew about it and didn't do anything because, you know, he's a big wig and we don't want to upset the apple cart. But you said, so here's what Jesus does. He comes into the Pharisees and the Pharisees are like, hey, you know what? I'm not like Matt Lauer. That guy over there, that Matt Lauer guy, I'm not like him. Actually, thank you, Lord, that I'm not like Matt Lauer. And then the Lord looks right at the Pharisees and said, yeah, you know, you guys have heard it said you should not commit adultery, right? But here's what I say. If you lust after any woman in your heart, you've committed adultery already. Oh, hold on a second. I'm not like Matt Lauer over there. Well, in your heart, you're guilty of adultery. Because guys, have you ever lusted after a woman, not your wife? Or single guys, have you ever lusted after any woman since you don't have a wife? That's fornication, by the way, or adultery. You go, yeah, guilty. Now, is Matt Lauer particularly disgusting in this case? Yeah, definitely. Are his sins appear to be worse than most of ours in terms of sexual depravity? Yeah, on the outside. Yeah, on the inside. I don't know. I don't know your heart. I don't know what you do with your time. But that's just, we have to be, it's really tempting and really easy to become very self-righteous when you have all this stuff going on. I tend to take the news of the day and all the sexual exploitation and the assault stuff, are there some false accusations out there? I'm sure there are. Because every woman out there that I have ever heard of is a human being who comes complete with a sin nature, just like guys, all of us. So is there some false accusation? I'm sure there is, because of human depravity. I guarantee it. But I'm glad that we're talking more about sexual assault or sexual impropriety or emotional abuse or any kind of abuse at all. We should be talking about that more. Praise the Lord for it. There's no question about it. But oftentimes when these stories break, I sit there and I start to question myself. Where am I falling short of the glory of God? Where am I not? Where am I not pleasing to the Lord? Because it's easy to spend every hour of every day and do the show 5 days a week and just talk about all the other garbage in the world. That's easy. Which is what Satan wants you to do, by the way, because it shuts down the sanctification process. So oftentimes I find myself going, I wonder where I'm hating. I wonder where I'm lusting. I wonder where I'm not walking with the Lord here. Instead of going, that stinking scumbag, Matt Lauer, oh my God, he's going to get what he got coming to him. I can't believe he's asking for $30 million, blah, 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 blah. And you take all that spotlight and you put it on him and you don't bother to look in the mirror or anything. And I'm pretty sure when I get to the judgment seat of Christ for my rewards in heaven, that I'm not going to be talking to God about Matt Lauer or anybody else. It's just going to be me, my Lord. And that's it. Okay, here's something that we need to be praying about. Another prayer topic. The monster, according to one expert at MIT, a monster new North Korean missile is what got shot off the other day. So I'm looking at an article from NPR. Yes, I'm looking at NPR. You can forgive me. And there's some great information there. And another article that came out of the Wall Street Journal called "It's Rocket Science: North Korea Lifts the Hood on Its Newest Missile." They have a rather disturbing graphic on here that I'm looking at right now that shows a view of the globe from the top, from the North Pole, right? So you're kind of looking down, and if North Korea is going to shoot something off and hit America, they're going across the top of the globe, okay? It's going across the top of the globe, over Russia, curves around a little bit, comes down over Canada and into the U.S. And it looks like what the experts have determined is that the missile that they just shot off, the Hwasong 14 or Hwasong, the one Hwasong 15, which was just tested on Wednesday, has a range of 8,100 miles, which means if you launch from North Korea, you can hit the bottom of Mexico, which puts all of America in play, which is why whether you like him or not, you better be, and I better be, praying for the United States of America and his staff and our military leaders and all the commanders, because boy, do they need it. Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. We'll be right back. What will make a man so bold? Make a woman lay her own life down. Only one thing, Jesus Christ, magnified all over. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, N-O-B-L-E, in case you're wondering. I'm a little punchy today. I was kind of bumming out earlier, and some tough news for a friend. Just pray for my friend David and his family, if you would, please. And I prayed with my friends on Facebook Live earlier, about a young girl. Whether you're here in North Carolina or not, doesn't matter. Mariah Woods is her name. She's 3 years old. She went missing on Monday in an area of North Carolina called Oslo County. And she's been missing for 4 days. There's literally hundreds of people out even today looking for her. So when you know about these things, when we hear about these things, just go, hey, you know what? Let's pray. We prayed earlier on the break with my Facebook Live friends, but let's do it right quick. And then one other thing, and we'll dive back into a few more stories. Which I'll try to find some good news there. Father, you know Mariah, you know the hairs on her head, you know everything, you know where she is. And we just pray for her safety, and we pray that she'll be found, that she'll be brought home, Lord, that you'll intervene. We know that you love her and care about her and died for her. So we just pray, Lord, that Mariah would be found and we'd be brought home and reunited with her mom, in Jesus' name. Amen. So also, please pray for my friend David and his family. Really, really difficult news, kind of terminal kind of news, and just pray for them. God knows all the details, and I don't want to share too much publicly, but he's a friend, he's a brother in Christ, and pray for he and his wife and their two kids. Pray for David, please, if you would. Okay, before we dive back into the news, one more one of our sponsors, a great partner here on the Truth Radio Network, but this is specific to North Carolina. So if you don't live here in North Carolina, you know, you probably know about Orrick anyway. Pretty much everybody knows about Orrick, O-R-E-C-K, Orrick Vacuums, which has been around for over 50 years, started kind of in the commercial industry and hotels and everything to come up with a lightweight alternative. Most of our vacuum cleaners weigh a lot. They're not easy to work with. So Orrick has come alongside here on Christian Radio and Truth Radio, and especially here in North Carolina. And they've got some great specials that you can find about online. Another thing I love about Orrick is they always have 5% off for active duty and veterans of our services. So that's awesome. And they have all kinds of great stuff, like 5 free tune-ups when you buy a vacuum cleaner through Orrick, and a 7-year warranty. And it's a bagged vacuum, which is a lot different than most of us. You have to go out and unload the thing. And, you know, you got the dust and all the garbage all over the place. So when you have a bag vacuum like Orrick, you get excellent filtration. You don't have to empty it very often. We have one at home. It's been excellent. The one that we got, they said it was lighter than a gallon of milk. I was like, yeah, whatever. And until I picked it up, then I used it, and it literally is. And it lays completely flat. So you can go under a chair or a table. That's really been great. We appreciate their partnership. And if you're here in North Carolina, really, if you're anywhere, you can check out Orrick. Great, great products and have been around for over 50 years. But if you're here in Carolina like I am, OrrickCarolinas.com is their website, OrrickCarolinas.com. Okay, so back to the news of the day, which is mostly lousy and kind of frustrating. We were talking about Rocket Man. And just so you know, if you missed the last segment, the missile that they tested this week on Wednesday was massively powerful, way bigger than they thought. Had a range of 8,100 miles, and when they shoot from North Korea, if they were going to do that, it would go up over Russia, kind of over over the pole, down over Canada, and into U.S. And one of their other missiles, a Hwasong 14, which they tested in July, could reach to Texas. The one they tested on Wednesday has an 8,100 mile capacity and could reach to the bottom of Mexico. This is getting very serious very soon, and something's going to have to happen here. Are they going to be able to push him down and deal with that with just more sanctions? And Trump was talking to the Chinese president, Xi, and that's great. I'm really happy that Trump has this fairly productive relationship with China, and we're going to start biting back on trade, which we need to do. But one a guy from MIT said, it's a monster about this new missile that they just tested on Wednesday. Vipin Narang, an associate professor at MIT who tracks the North's nuclear capabilities, the missile is so much larger than previous versions that Narang suspects it could carry a powerful thermonuclear weapon, regardless of whether the North has managed to make a compact, missile-friendly version. They wouldn't have to miniaturize much, Narang says. So this is really serious business as we deal with things going on here in America. Let's not forget what is happening in North Korea. We've got like 3 carrier groups parked out there. This is very serious business. And we need to remember to pray for those in authority over us, pray for the president, pray for the military branches, and pray for them to have wisdom, and pray for God himself to deal with North Korea, because that is a grave threat, and it's getting worse by the day. Listen, they're doing nuclear missile-type drills now in Hawaii. Have you heard that? They're like testing and getting and taking it very serious, nuclear missile drills in Hawaii. And now what they tested on Wednesday, you could take that all the way to Texas. It hit the entire continental United States. So that's really, really, really serious. The whole Roy Moore thing, a couple more stories and we'll be done today. You know, he's back in front. So he was down by 8 to 10 points. Now he's back in front. Time is on his side. There hasn't been a lot more weight on these allegations. Some of them, you know, at one point he said he didn't know any of these people. Recently he said originally he said he did know some of them, and now he's saying he doesn't know any of them. And so I want to believe the guy. He's a born-again Christian. He's been a tremendous defender of God's word, the Ten Commandments. He lost his job over it down in Alabama. You know, I want it all to be false, and I hope that it is. But are you like this? I'm like, somebody said, hey, are you sure that Judge Roy Moore is innocent? I'm just not at a place anymore as a follower of Christ and as a student of humanity. In history, right? I'm not going to say anybody's incapable of anything because everybody's fallen. Everybody's got that sin nature. I hope it's not true. I really do. And if it is true, I hope it gets found out. I hope that justice is done. But I hope it's not true, but we'll see what happens. That special election, I think, is coming up this coming week. He was down by 8 to 10. Now he's up by 4, 5, and 6, depending on which poll you're looking at. And it's moving quickly. Alabama, obviously a very red state, so we'll see what happens. I know that the Republicans can't afford to lose a seat in the Senate, and the Democrats definitely want to pick one up. That's a big deal. So we'll just see what happens. Based on that, let me just mention something else about the Senate. It's looking like, and several stories have broken today, the White House says it's confident they have the votes to pass the Senate GOP tax plan. There is no consensus on whether this is a good tax plan or not. Mark Levin, a great constitutional attorney, talk show host, who also proves every day that you don't have to have a great voice to be on the radio. He's got a really shrill voice, hard to listen to, but the guy's brilliant. He absolutely tore the GOP tax plan to shreds the other day on his radio show and made a lot of great points. But right now, they're saying they have 50 senators locked in, which means that would end up being a tie, and then Mike Pence will come in as the president of the Senate and will cast the deciding vote. It'll be 51-50. You don't get that very often in the Senate, but that's what it looks like. And then there's going to be a conference committee because you've got to reconcile the House bill to the Senate bill. Whatever they send, Trump's going to sign it. And so it's going to be a real mixed bag. And unfortunately, because of the way they play games up there, it'll save some people some money. It won't help other people. It's not going to help wealthy people unless they're in certain positions. But it's actually going to, the net effect in terms of doing your taxes, they're going to make it even more complicated. Because God forbid we should go to a flat tax. That makes too much sense. So if it makes too much sense, that's almost sinful in Washington, D.C. to think like that. By the way, do you have young adults in your family or kids? Do you have kids between the ages of, let's say, 12 and 25, somewhere in there? Yesterday, in my civics class, we started to talk about Foundations of Freedom, that's called. That's going to be available online, by the way, sometime this spring, because we want to make that available to more people around the country, especially young people and homeschoolers and stuff. And we were talking about the structure of Congress yesterday. And I don't want to talk about any more news, the bad news of the day, by the way. So I'm going to finish with this. So we were talking about the structure of Congress, and I got to the point, and maybe you don't know this. The odds are probably pretty good that you don't. That all revenue bills, i.e. tax, all revenue bills start in the House of Representatives. Now, why is that? Why did those crazy founding fathers want all revenue bills to start in the House of Representatives? Well, that's because the House of Representatives is closer to us. So when you decide you're going to take the people's money as a check and a balance on that, you would put that in the House. That would originate in the House. Why? Because we get at them every 2 years. Every 2 years, we flip the entire House of Representatives. They're all up for re-election. So we can get to them quickly. That's why all revenue bills, tax bills, start in the House. So if it's their idea, we can go after them, right? That's the whole point. Thank you, Founding Fathers. Thank you, Lord. Now, with this group full of young people, and I've taught them a lot since the beginning of the semester, but I said, what's a revenue bill? And that was the answer. Okay, what's a tax bill? And that was the answer. I said, does anybody in here really understand what a tax is? And that was the answer. Okay, so I've got 22 homeschool kids, teenagers, high school age, growing up in mostly conservative Christian homes who cannot tell me. And then some of them are nervous. They don't answer a question in class, right? We know that. But many of them just didn't know. What's a tax bill? What's a tax? They didn't know. Is that a problem? Yes. So I said, okay, we're in North Carolina. So let's pull up, what taxes do I pay in North Carolina? I just Googled it, threw it up on the screen. And you know what caught their attention? The gas tax. So here in the state of North Carolina, we have about a 35-cent gas tax. So I said, how many of you drive? And all these hands went up. How much do you pay per gallon of gas? About $2.40. Okay, take a look at this. Did you know that 35 cents of that is a gas tax? A tax. The government taking your money to fund its efforts. And all of a sudden, the lights came on. And then I said, let me make you really sick to your stomach. And I pulled up the national debt clock. If you've never seen it, Google it right now. National debt clock. And they were watching it. 10,000, 10,000, 10,000, 10,000. That's our debt going up. Showed it all the way back to 1980, went forward a couple years, 22 trillion. And I said, that's what's happening. That's what's going on. And the lights start coming on. And they're teenagers. It is possible. So let's make sure we're working hard to educate our youth. This is Steve Noble. It is Call to Action Radio. And God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon.